2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favour I heard you, and the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favour, now is the day of salvation. Sometimes I find it hard to believe that I'm 50. 50 and 48 days. Because the party on Saturday is my 50 years and 54 days birthday party celebration. There you go. But, you know, one of the things about when you're old or getting older is that you start saying things like, do you remember when? Some of you have been saying that for a long time. Some of you haven't said that yet, but trust me, it will happen. And one of the things that I was thinking about, do you remember when they used to have name tags at church? I grew up in a church in Queensland, and we, you know, just trying to be helpful and welcoming and all those sort of stuff. So we actually got like proper, you know, plastic moulded, embossed sort of with our church motto and our names on them. And they had, the only thing bad about them was they had those little pins in the back, and I used to stick myself when I was trying to put the thing on. We were in another church, and they had a name tag culture there, only in the morning service, And there were some people that were name tag Nazis, and they thought it was their job to go around and point out and remind you when you'd forgotten to put your name tag on, because, you know, that was actually vital to the mission of the church. Well, and in their understanding, it was, because that was a way of being welcoming and being accessible to people who might be visiting. The only trouble with that was is that you stood out like a sore thumb if you wandered into the auditorium. Everyone knew that you were a visitor or whatever else because you didn't have a name tag on. Now, but I reckon and hats off to them, Sindel had the best name tag system I ever saw. You know, because back at another church, like they relied on you to actually take your name tag home with you and then to remember to bring it back with you the following week. Well, at Sindel, it was like, they had a name tag team, and you just wandered into the foyer, and there's racks and racks of name tags there, and you could just go up and, you know, alphabetically and go and pick yours off and put it on the thing. And if you lost one, they'd just make a new one for you. I mean, just, it was about the gold standard in church name tags that I have ever seen. I'm not a name tag person, and you will have noticed that by the fact that we don't have name tags here, because if I was, then we probably would, but I'm not. But, you know, there are other places where we wear name tags, aren't there? Like, some of us have to wear name tags for our job, you know, that says, you know, David Wanstall, you know, assistant manager, Hungry Jack's, or, customer service help, or whatever. Yes, exactly right. So, and some of you may well have to wear a name tag for your job, right, that says who you are and your position or whatever else. But we all of us, whether we wear physical name tags or not, we actually do wear labels, don't we? And so I've got some labels here that, some of them are ones that other people give us, and other ones are ones that we put on ourselves. Sometimes they're visible to and obvious to other people. Sometimes they're really deeply personal and unknown only to us. So, for example, you know, one of the labels I have is husband, right? I didn't put any adjective about how good a husband I was. I was tempted to write best husband in the whole world, but then I thought, I haven't actually checked with my wife to know whether that's true or not, so I didn't put that. But that's one label I have. Another label I have is father. And another one I have, which many of you would probably agree with, is nerd. Yeah, well, I haven't got that one on this list, but that's a subset of nerd, right? And some people hang this on me too. I'm a slow walker. Some people say, David, the slow walker. But this one I think is definitely true. Dad joke expert. And this is a new one that I was given recently by my cousin's son when we were on holidays in Queensland. Surf God in a dad bod. And this is maybe my favourite one of all. Mamnil. Middle-aged man never in Lycra. And you probably can't take me seriously while I've got these stickers all over my face, so I'm going to put them... Well, you probably can't take me seriously at the best of times, but sometimes we wear labels like that, don't we? And sometimes we wear other more hurtful labels internally, like, I'm no good. I'm fat, I'm too thin, I'm ugly, I'm rejected, I'm unlovable, I'm whatever else, right? We have labels that we wear, don't we? That other people put on us, much to our chagrin, and other times there's labels that life just teaches us that we have. And most of the times, those labels can refer to things about who we are, but then they also can refer to our roles and what we do. And at the beginning of this year, we've been looking at, and our theme question for the year is, who are we becoming? And we're answering that question framed by what God's original intent was and what God's final destination is. And we've seen that in Genesis 1, God created this universe as a temple, a place where the spiritual and the physical interacted, where God and the material universe met. And God's intention was that humans would be with God in that place. And Adam and Eve would, in Genesis chapter 2, would walk in the cool of the afternoon with God through that garden. And then humans were made in God's image, so we were like God as well. And then humans were given a responsibility to rule over and subdue the earth and to essentially extend the garden from Eden out around in the whole world. And humans have been doing a okay of job of that, or sometimes better, sometimes worse job of that ever since. And then we've spent some time fast-forwarding all the way through the Bible, following the theme of the temple, which is God with us through the tabernacle, through the temple, through Jesus, through the church, to Revelation chapter 21 and 22, where God makes heaven and earth new again and joins heaven and earth together forever and completely, which was God's original intention all the time. And we see in Revelation 21 and 22 that those features are there writ large, that people are with God and that people have become like Jesus. And the other thing is, the other feature, which again is just a restoration of God's original intent in Genesis chapter 1, is found in Revelation chapter 22, verse 4. They will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Who are we becoming? We are becoming people who will live with God, will be like God, and will reign with God forever and ever. As Dallas Willard said, what we're doing now when we're thinking about who we are becoming, and it's maybe been two sermons since I have mentioned his name, so I need to do it now, that we are training for reigning. Because Revelation 22 says that's what we will be doing. And so as we come into this year, we need to be intentional about growing into who God is making us to be, cooperating with the direction that God has for us. And that direction is that we are to be with God. And a few weeks ago we said, well, what's your plan for practicing the presence of God more in your life? What's the triggers that you can use? Is it pulling out the phone? Is it posting on Facebook, whatever else it is, what can you use to turn your mind to God more frequently, and then trust that the sort of the aftertaste of that that momentary focus on God will then permeate the next few minutes, so that you more and more your days are filled with an awareness of the presence of God in your life. Have a plan for that. Work on it this year. That at the end of this year, you can say, I'm living with God more of the moments of my days now than I was at the beginning of 2019. And last week, we talked about weeding and feeding. What are the parts of our character that we want to get rid of? And what are the parts of our character that we want to actually add to? Because we talk, even from a purely selfish point of view, my life will be easier if I've got more love, faith, hope, love, joy and peace in my life than if I have anger, fear, despair, worry, anxiety or whatever else. And so I may as well say, well, God, what's one area in my life where I can pull some stuff out of my life and how I can be opened to the work of you and fruit of your spirit to grow that more in my life? And so we're encouraging you to be intentional too and cooperate with God. What's your specific plan for weeding and feeding parts of your character this year? So that at the end of 2019 you can look back and say, well, I'm on the trajectory towards the new heaven and the new earth reality of me. I'm a bit more like Jesus now than I was at the beginning of the year. With God, like God, and the other one today is for God. Now, I've got a whole bunch of name tags on me and you have none on you, and I think that's unfair. So, Chris, can you go down this aisle and hand out these texts? We'll make sure everyone has a texter. And Ken, can you just go down this side and hand out texts to everybody? Now, because there's one more name tag that needs to go on all of us today, and it's from the passage of the Bible today, and it's Ambassador David. Now, you don't have to put Ambassador David on you because you're not Ambassador David. But at the end of each row, there's some little tags like this. So there's four on each row, so there will be enough for everybody. I want everyone to grab one, and I want you to fill your name in underneath Ambassador. And stick it on you somewhere. Just be creative. It can be on your forehead, it can be on your shirt, whatever else. But as quickly as you can, write your name on Ambassador Malcolm, Ambassador Zara, Ambassador Christine. So you don't have to put Mamnil or Nerd or whatever else it is, but put that one on you. Ambassador. Everyone got a name tag, a sticky label? You need one? There you go, Ash. Excellent. Now, I think it's only fair because I've gone to 10 and I've gone above and beyond and I've got lots of labels on me. So I want you to make sure every one of you has labels on you so that I don't feel so alone and weird up the front here. Excellent. So I'm a terrible writer, so I printed mine out. But Sarah's got beautiful writing. That's fantastic. I always say that my writing was messy enough for me to be a doctor. But I decided I couldn't hack the blood and gut, so there you go. Now, where's my one? So I'm going to take all these other labels off so that we're not confused by them. Because you know about them anyway. And we're just going to leave this one. Is there anyone missing? Are there any stray labels anywhere that I haven't taken off? All right. Ambassador David. Look at your label wherever it is on your shirt or whatever. How does it make you feel that you're an ambassador for God? Now, it might you feel like you're a bit American, right? You know, like American culture is whatever the highest rank in public life that you've ever reached and whatever title you just get that name forever, right? You know, you might not have been president for 40 years, but they'll still call you President Jimmy Carter when they invite you on, well, not you, but him, right? Or if it was Secretary of State, like whatever the highest position in government you got, they'll say, you know, Madeleine Albright, Secretary of State. He's not anymore, he hasn't been for 20 years, but that's what the title that they'll give her. You know, or whether it's, Commerce Secretary or what, Ambassador will often be one that then will be the case. But here in the passage we read today, Paul understood that he was an ambassador. His job as living for God was to be an ambassador for God. Because when we talk about living for God, we don't mean like that we are people who are having to serve and meet all of God's needs, like some sort of household servant. That's not what we mean when we talk about living for God. Rather, we mean being God's representative, being the one that represents God in whatever situation we find ourselves in. And so you and I are all, by God's calling, to be ambassadors or representatives wherever we are. And when we look at that label on ourselves, we might think, oh, I'm not worthy. Well, that's all right. None of us are worthy, but God picks us anyway. You might think, well, I can't do much. But if you think about like an ambassador, if you're like an ambassador from an Australian ambassador for to some other country like America or USA or wherever ever else, right? You being an ambassador is not dependent on what you have. It's dependent on what the country behind you has, right? It's not, the ambassador doesn't have to, when they move to a new country, doesn't have to, you know, figure out their own housing, doesn't have to become a policy expert on everything. If there's some interaction that happens with that country, what they do is they get on the phone back to Canberra and the whole Foreign Affairs Department helps them do the job. Right? So however inadequate you feel, that's okay, because when you're a representative for God, all the resources of heaven are behind you. We might feel inadequate because of our failings, and that's the grace of God. We might feel like we can't do it because we don't have the skills or talents or resources or whatever else. Well, that's okay, because we're representing God, and the resources of God's kingdom are behind us. We might think, well, I'm not a big person. I can't publicly speak. I can't lead a big organisation or whatever else. But tell you what, God's intention that the knowledge of God would cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Which is pretty completely right, because wherever there's sea, there's actually water, right? And so every nook and cranny of society is where God wants God's presence to be. And it doesn't matter whether you only are connected with a handful of people or thousands of people, you are uniquely placed to be God's representative amongst those people. And whether you regard yourself as father or consultant or train driver or school teacher or engineer or accountant or IT professional or lawyer or audiologist or business person or retiree or whatever else, whatever your functional title or label is that you actually are prominent in your mind, a much deeper one is that you're an ambassador. God's representative, God's agent, if you like, in your particular part of this world. Whichever way you actually happen to get an income to support your life, your role is to be God's representative. I mean, your ultimate role is you're going to be God's representative reigning over everything. And Jesus gave a hint of that in the parable of the 10 miners that talks about in Luke chapter 19, where he talked about the master giving servants some a couple of years' worth of annual wages, and then he goes off and they need to put it to work. And when he comes back, the first servant says, "Master, look, the 5 miners you gave me, I've used them and I've turned them into 10 miners." And the master says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Now have control of 10 cities." Like there's just this exponential increase in the expectation. And so as we practice being God's ambassadors now, that's, we are training for reigning in ways we couldn't begin to imagine in the future. So how can you and I grow in the for God life this year? So we talked about how we can make some specific plans to grow in the with God life, and some specific plans on how we can grow in the like God life. But we also want you to have make some specific plans about how you can grow in the for God life. And just like in the last 2 weeks, there's two copies of these sheets in each pew, so you feel free to grab one of those, or if you want to go in our church app to the resource section, you'll find it in the church app there as well. There are two ways you can deal with this or look at this. The first one is you can just ask yourself three simple questions. Who am I sent to? Who am I? Who is God sending me to as his representative? And oftentimes there'll be more than one place. You know, sometimes small countries that can't afford big diplomatic staff, they'll have people who are like an ambassador to more than one country. And just the same way, you might be understand that God has sent you as an ambassador into more than one setting. It might be that God sent you as an ambassador to your workplace, or to your street, or to your local sporting club where you happen to be, that you're God's representative there as well as just the sausage sizzler turner third person. And the second question is, who are you sent with? Ambassadors, when they go to another country, they're very rarely the lone person there, are they? They usually have assistant ambassadors, consuls, support staff, you know, a whole embassy full of people, right, that's not just them by themselves. And so we can understand that, and the New Testament points us out that when we're living for God in mission, that we usually do it with groups of people. So the second question is, who am I sent with? Who am I sent to, and who am I sent with? And I would really encourage you to think about how you can join with other people in our church and be sent together this year. So, for example, the people that are on the Maney music team, they are sent together to the families with toddlers in our area. It's led by Susie and Mabel, but there's others that work together in that team, and that's part of them going, they're sent together in that regard. Those of us who are part of Kets and Oikos, we are sent to the disconnected people around us and those that are in social housing. And so we go together. We're not just individual lone rangers in that regard. Those that are on the youth team and are seeking to reach out to the young people in the area, they're sent together to that youth team. And similarly, with Eddie and people that are trying to help him do that, they're sent together to international students and others in our area. And we would really love it this year if you can identify that you're part of a group like that. With four that I mentioned, international students, mainly music, Kads and Oikos, and youth. Because sometimes, well, A, when we do it together, it's easier. But B, when we do it together, we can actually learn from each other about how to do it. You might think, I have no clue about how to actually connect with people, internationals or people in social housing or whatever else it is. But there's some other people that have had a go at doing it a bit and have had a bit more experience. They might not be world experts, but they have a bit more experience than you. And so I'd like you to think and pray, which of those four areas might God be sending you to this year? Maybe not for long term, maybe it's a training ground, maybe it's a stepping stone to something else that you're going to be doing a bit later on, but we want you to think about, who are you sent to? People at Kads and Oikos, international students, Friday night youth, mainly music, and the networks around them. Just pray and think, God, which of those do you want me to be sent with this year? And when one comes to mind, make a plan to follow through on it. If you want to come and be part of Kads and Oikos and find out more about it, come and speak to me or Celia or Mike or Chris or Monica. If you want to do stuff with international students, speak to Eddie or Rita. If you want to do stuff with young families in the area, speak to Susie and Mabel. If you think God's sending you to help reach out to young people, speak to Paul or Dean or Georgia. And find out how you might engage and be with them, being sent with them to those people, being God's representative to them. You might actually have in your heart that God's wanting to send you to, I don't know, single people in the area, or people who are elderly, or you might have a vision for trying to connect with families with primary age kids or whatever else. And I haven't named that as a group in those list of four that we have at the moment. But that's okay. I'd encourage you to say, well, that's my long-term goal. I think that's where I'm going to be heading. I'm going to be an ambassador to them, but I'm going to be an ambassador in training over here in the meantime while I wait for God to make the opportunity available for that over there. So all of those areas will do better if there's more people helping in them. So who are you sent to? And who are you sent with? Really important questions that you can reflect on this year. And then once you've figured those things out, you need to think about how you can convey the good news of God to those people by your words and your actions. By your actions and your words. Like, the vision for our church is that people in the area would have opportunities to experience God's goodness and to know Him better. So they encounter practical work and actions, as well as opportunities to discuss things about God. Or you might actually need to do some deeper rearranging. Maybe for you, a block for you becoming an ambassador for God is that there's some other labels that you hold really close to you, like, I can't do things, I'm no good, nobody loves me, or whatever. And so you might need to do some reflecting. What are the labels that I have on my life that I've put there and other people have put there? And then you might need to rearrange those labels. Maybe you need to put that the deepest part of who you are, the label that says, child of God. Because God's Spirit affirms with our spirit that we are His children. Whatever else has happened in life, whoever's rejected you, whatever dysfunctional situation you've come from, however inadequate you feel or whatever, the deepest label that you can wear, that God wants you to wear, is child of God. Son of the King, daughter of the King. But then maybe just a bit further out than that, because covenant always comes first, relationship always comes first, responsibility comes second. Because I'm a child of God, then I'm an ambassador for God. So maybe you need to rearrange some of the labels in your life and shuffle and rip some off and tear them up and throw them away. Say, I'm no longer wearing that. Sometimes you just need to rearrange the order of them and which ones actually are the deepest significance to you and which ones have the greatest impact on who you are and what you do. Maybe you need to stick some labels on your bathroom mirror that says, I'm a child of God, I'm an ambassador for God, so that you see it regularly. Maybe program in your phone, do something where those labels are before your eyes more frequently to remind you. But then, just ask God for some specific wisdom and insight about your ambassadorial roles and simple steps that you could make to do it better. I mean, it might be as simple as, well, I don't really know how to actually have a conversation with people that I don't know yet. But you might observe around this room plenty of people that can, like, talk the leg off a table. And so you can go and ask them, well, how do you do it? And they might say, I don't know, I just blab. But then you might find some other people who've thought about it and say, well, this is the way I do it. I've got five questions that I know I can ask. Like, what's your name? Where are you from? What do you do? Tell me about your family. What do you like doing? And you ask them that question and then you answer the question yourself, and you can have a 20-minute conversation just based around those five questions. But if you've never learned how to do it, then that can seem like, I don't know what to do. Actually, that makes it achievable. I could do that. So there might be some simple skills or something. I don't know how to talk to people about Jesus. Well, there's people here who do, so go and find them and say, can you help me do that? You'll learn how to do that. I don't know how to host people in my house. Well, other people here are really good at that and they've learned how to do that. It's a learned skill. It's not something that you're born with. Not everybody was born like as a Gordon Ramsay, thank God. So there's ways that we can get better at being God's representatives We don't have to become Billy Graham. We just need to become a bit better. Right? And I want you to, we want to use this tool to help you be intentional and to work through it and to plan it. Because I promise you that if you just figure out simple steps that you can take this year in being with God more, like God more, and more effectively being for God, your Christian life will be transformed. And what's more, it won't be a wasted investment because you're doing stuff that lasts for eternity. However many hours I spend in the gym shaping my dad bod into a ripped bod, my ripped bod will one day not be ripped, right? Because of the aging process. But in whichever ways I become with, like, and for God, they're things that last for eternity. They're things that I know won't be here today and gone tomorrow. They're good investments. But don't confuse hearing a sermon about being with God to actually taking some steps to grow to being with God. Don't confuse hearing a sermon about being like God to you actually personally taking some steps to say, I need to become more like Jesus. And don't think, well, I've heard a sermon about being for God, I can tick that box, there's nothing left for me to do. No, hearing a sermon about it is not the same as doing something about it. Just like hearing that there's Tim Tams for morning tea is not the same as leaving the service early and getting over there before the final song is sung to make sure you're first in line for the Tim Tams. I just want you to pause for a moment and think, God, who are you sending me to this year to be your representative, to bring your good news by my words and actions? Which of the four missional areas in our church do you want me to be part of? Youth, international students, social housing, mainly music. Who shall I talk to about that, God? What skills do I need to try and develop this year to be a better representative of Jesus? See if you can come up with some simple, concrete steps that you can take straight after the service or in the next couple of days. Let's just reflect for a few moments.